Father, we worship you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Father, help us to pray the prophetic prayers. Tonight we'll meet and speak. We'll speak into the atmosphere. We'll speak into God. We'll speak also into the atmosphere. Right now, Lord, receive grace. We speak over this city. We pray over this region, 50-mile radius, but specifically this morning for our home. Lord, that the glory of the Lord will manifest here. Not that man would see and we would prove our argument, but that man would see the unfolding of the kingdom of God. Father, we pray that the streets of our city will be manifest with the glory of the Lord. The demonic powers that have held in garrison the gates of this city for generation after generation, the exploitation of the poor, Father, we pray will be brought down in the name of Jesus. Rich men exploiting the poor for their profits with no caring of the kingdom of God. We pray that that spirit will be brought underneath the power of God in this city. The demonic powers that have caused such a lust for money, we pray will be brought to nothing, Lord, under the glory of the Lord which is coming. The sins of adultery and perversion, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that those spirits that run rampant in the hearts of men over this city, Father, that we pray that, Lord, salvation will move in here like a great cloud of glory, that men will shake under the power of God, that it will not just be your love that they feel, but they will feel your very fear, Lord. We pray that, God, you'll show them whatever it takes. Now this we pray according to your word. The word says in Jude, having some making a difference with your love and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Lord, whatever it takes over this city and whatever it takes with every individual, whether it's a baptism in your love that they see the love of God and they repent and come unto God, or if they see hell and if they see the destruction of their life and the absence of your presence in their eternity, Lord, show them the lake of fire. Show them the worm that dieth not. Show them the pit in which there is no escape for all eternity. Show them, Lord, whether it be your love or both. But I pray that over this city and over every individual, that there will be a fear that will come so strong that will shake men and shake their lives. And I pray that, Father, behind it will come a glory, Lord, in which men will love God. Eschew evil, turn from their wicked ways and follow you, Father. Father, we love you. We worship you. We glorify you. We magnify you. We worship you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. Oh, heal our land. Heal our land, Lord. Heal our city, Lord. Raise up the gates of this city, Lord. Raise up the gates of this city, Lord. Oh, we're asking for more angels. We're asking for more angels, God. We're asking for more angels, God. We're asking for more angels, God. Holy Madala Mandele Messira Dalala Madele Nikiera. Holy Macrisele Macrasata la Macaya. Hey. Sura Mala Mandele Macrisiria Salamacure Mele Mandala Manso. Father, we pray for families. We pray for families in the name of Jesus, that mothers will be mothers, that their careers will be second, that their ambitions will be second, that whatever would hinder them and distract them from knowing you and first following you and then giving a legacy of Christ into their children, that their children and children's children will raise up and call them blessed. And if you should tarry 100 years from now, speak of their grandmother and their mother's mother that left a legacy of prayer and left a legacy of giving the parables of God in their heart, in their minds, and teaching them righteousness. We pray for the fathers that they will be undivided in their attention, that they will give them their life to God, and they will give their life for God, and no career, no ambition, no hobby, no anything, Lord, will take the advantage of being a distraction in their life, giving themselves to you. Then I pray that they will lay down their life for their life, for their children, for their wives, that they will lay down their life, that they will give all that they have to serve you, to serve them, that they will pour out their lives to instill all the godly principles and all the godly faith and all the godly righteousness and everything that you are in life, in principle, in teachings, in honesty, speaking honestly. Father, I pray that the children will see the embracement in the homes and the love in the homes and the speaking kindly in the homes one to another. Father, I pray that backbiting, dissension, and the evil guile, the green, putrid guile of words that have nothing but death in them will have no place in our lips. Purge our lips. As Isaiah said, Lord, take the coal from the altar and burn our lips, Father. Burn our lips and our tongue, that the things that we speak are pure and honest and lovely and of a good report, having virtue. Lord, that the things that we should speak one to another are life. Our life. We speak that life one to another today. Lord, we repent, and I personally repent, of any words that are floating around that have death in them. Cleanse our words. Cleanse our words and wash us with hyssop, with the blood of Christ, fresh and anew, Lord. Wash us every day. Cleanse us. For we that are perfect seek perfection. We that have been perfected in the blood seek perfection. Our transition is always in Him, higher and higher. We worship you, Father. For more of angels and a company of angels, your word says innumerable, to the church of the firstborn, write these things. Father, give us a great portion of those innumerable angels to carry out this work. We will not turn to them. We will not worship them. We will not speak to them to serve us on our own lust, but we will speak to you, and their assignments will come from you to them. And as a result of it, Father, give us this city. Give us this city. Give us this city. Give us this city. We pray that ignorance will go out of our city. We pray that mindlessness will go out of our city. We pray that our school will go from an F to an A. Lord, these things are impossible with the barrier of languages and those kinds of things. But Father, we pray that the impossible, it's impossible for legs to grow out, and yet we speak it. Lord, I pray that you'll take this school from an F to an A. I pray that you will cause our community to brighten up. I pray that, Lord, the stranger on the street, the vagabond, the derelict, the one standing in the gutter, Lord, that there will be no places to hide in our city, but, Lord, that there will be light on every corner and every back alley. There will be light. Father, I pray that the spirits that have tried to keep larger commerce from coming in, from anything that is manipulated behind the scenes, Lord, we need the large operations and enterprises to come in here. We need the hotels. We need everything that is conducive. I pray that the small mentality and the backstreet mentality that is preserved and kept only certain men rich, Father, I pray that it will be broken over our city in Jesus' name. I pray that the floodgates will be so strong that nobody or nothing will be able to stop it. Lord, commerce, commerce for the souls that will be saved, for the people that will need the jobs and the families that will need to be fed, not just the fields around us, but Father, commerce in every way. We speak life. We speak life. I thank you, Father, that the day and hour that, Lord, that a man will not be able to buy a prostitute on the streets of Immokalee. I thank you, Lord, that there will be no men, but I pray that those men that would come here or live here, Father, will shake. They will shake in their shoes and they will not understand. They will sweat because of the power of God. Father, we worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. For the young men and the young women over this city that have never had the role models in front of them, and then at a very early age have been evangelized. They've been evangelized either through mental oppression, things that they've watched, or things that have been done to them, and they are not sure who they are, and they're not sure of their gender, and they're not sure of their affections. Father, we pray that not from the spirit in which many men have come with a hatred for these people. We love them, Father. We love them, Father. Lord, we pray that in Jesus' name that they will begin, as these spirits are brought low and handcuffed and led away, as the psalmist said in 150, we can bind their kings with chains and their nobles with chains and their kings with fetters of iron. Lord, as we handcuff these spirits, we pray that role models will come forward and people, young men and young women and older men, will begin to realize through the mind of Christ not only what their real gender is, but Lord, give them godly affections, godly inclinations, godly natural things inside of them to turn from perversion, to turn to life. Father, we worship you.
I have nothing to add to what Pastor said at all, but I would ask us as a body that you leave the last 10 minutes, the prophetic prayer that Pastor prayed was, to me, is just the undefiled holy mind of Christ. I mean, it was, every word was so powerful and full of virtue. I would ask that we leave him out of that prayer and just focus on what he just spoke, the holy word of God. Amen. and power. I would pray to God that we would all go back, including myself. I pray to God that Miss Candy would maybe even immediately tomorrow put that prayer on our website. I think we have to devour and go over that prayer all week long if we can. That was flat out incredible. It moved me in the spirit to a T. Those words that he spoke through the Holy Ghost were spirit and they were truth. Do not take those words for granted. They were powerful, and the holy, holy, uncut, uncensored word of God came through our pastor. Please do not take these words for granted. This is what we are contending for. This is the word of God that he spoke straight from the throne room of God. I would beg us, we would grab a hold of that prayer and go through it 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times this week to receive the love and the instruction of God out of that prophetic prayer this morning. That's all that I wanted to add to what we heard as a body of Christ according to the words of the Holy Ghost this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise Amen. God. Well, to the counterpart of that and to Homer is encouraging you as an elder to devour these words as soon as they come out. They'll possibly be printed, I don't know, but and they'll also be on our website soon. But and he's right in the spirit, because the Holy Spirit wants to accentuate and again, as he said, leave me out of it. Sometimes as the one giving it, you'll have the tendency and the temptation to move right on, even though you knew it was from God, and go right into another part of the service. But this is why we meet, is to hear from God. I did not come in here with that intent to pray that. He came on me, and it was prophetic. All the glory to God. All the glory to you, Father. All the glory. All the glory. All the glory. All the glory. So, not only have we received it as from God, my God, as Homer said, and I say what he said, reiterating, please, please, please take it to heart. Listen to it when it comes out. We're going to speak to you this morning about one thing is needful. And we're going to turn to scripture out of Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 40. We'll read a story that you've read or heard read to you maybe many times before, and launch from there. Okay. This is in chapter 10. And of course, this is a part of the ministry of Christ and his relationship with a family, a brother and two sisters, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. Let me preface what we're about to talk about. Some of it you'll be able to maybe run ahead in your thoughts. I can't keep you from running ahead in certain areas because you've heard things before or you've read things of your own volition, and that's perfectly fine. But I would say stay open and listen to everything that the Holy Spirit has to say in application to exactly what he wants you to get today. In other words, don't let it be that you've heard, you know, some of this before, and so you relate back to a cookie cutter kind of mentality, a pattern in which you can fall into. I will preface this by saying, just like in the message of the 7 or 8 weeks that we did on the message of Jezebel, we had to continually say, just because we're teaching on Jezebel, we're teaching about a spirit, and this can work it doesn't have to work in women alone, or it can work in a woman. It can work in men. It can work in church boards or elders or pastors or denominations. And we went through all that. Well, the only reason why I'm saying that is to say this. We're going to talk about specifically Mary and Martha this morning, but this is not a message to the women only. This is an equal message to the men as well, when we look at the diversity of two different personalities and the approach of those personalities in the church at large, not just this church, but the personalities that are in the church at large and the factions that have existed in the churches for so many years. When I say a faction, I'm talking about a mentality of way of approaching God or serving God, or how you relate to God. And so we're going to look at that this morning. And so I just kind of ask you to kind of reel in your thoughts a little bit and don't run too far ahead, because even mentioning here, if you're versed in Scripture, you know when we first mentioned here, and we're going to turn to the story of Mary and Martha, the title of the message is One Thing is Needful. And of course, that's a quote from Jesus, and you'll see in a moment if you're not familiar where that comes into play. So looking at verse 38, and it came to pass, as they went, they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now, let's just rehearse what we've just read, okay? Jesus is familiar with this family, and he is he's friends with not only Lazarus, but he's friends with Mary and Martha, and he frequents their house. He's there often, as we find through Scripture. Bethany was really close to Jerusalem, and it was like, I don't know exactly when they met, but they did meet. Maybe I do if I thought about it. Maybe there's a Scripture that says, I'm not sure. That's not our assignment for me to think about that this morning. But they got to be friends, and it was customary, or it was an occasional thing that Jesus would frequent their house. Here it says Martha's house, and we'll make note of that in a little bit about who she was and what she was. But it could have been her house singular, or it could have been her house as in sharing the property with her brother and with her sister as well. But nevertheless, it was a place where Jesus, he frequented that place, and he went in there. Well, on this particular occasion, he's there in the house, and Jesus is teaching, and of course, I'm sure that he has a room full of people listening to what he's, you know, speaking on, because every word that comes out of his mouth is anointed, and it's filled with life, whether he's teaching at the seaside or on the mountaintop or in the desert or wherever Jesus is at. It's anointed, it's interesting, it has life in it. And so as a result of it, everybody's there and they're hanging on every single word. I don't know if he was speaking a parable. It doesn't really say what he was saying at that particular moment, but he was sharing the mind of his Father, and people were just hanging on every single word. And he was there, and he had taken meals there before, and it was probably customary for them not only to, I mean, if he comes in there, he's going to eat, and then the people that they could get in the house, you know, they were going to share with that that afterglow fellowship or whatever. Well, as a result of it, there's ministry going on, and there's a church service in, we think of it as rooms. I don't know how many different rooms, modern day houses have rooms. There may have been a divider where they could look in and see a room. But even if it was an open concept kind of room, there was part of it that there was a church service going on, and there was part of it where there was work going on. And Martha doesn't say, but you can imagine if they had several people there and Jesus is there, that she had some help, just like a lot of, you know. And again, this is not a women's message. This is a totality congregational message. But as way of an example, a lot of times there'll be something going on, and the women, you know, they're in the kitchen and they're getting stuff prepared. And a lot of you ladies have come over to our house, or we've went to your house, and my wife jumps in there with you, or you jump in with my wife, and you start, you know, doing stuff. And so that would have been customary as well. And maybe there were several women that were working, knowing that at the end of whatever he's doing, whether he's going to heal anybody or preach or just teach, at the end of it, everybody's going to be hungry, you know, at the end of this service. That's why it's dangerous to teach on fasting, because people are ready to go eat after they're in service, you know. And so we'll all go. You'll go home or go to a restaurant or someplace. And so people just like to eat and fellowship, and that's really great after a good service, sermon. And so they knew that was going to happen. They knew that at the end, Martha knew for sure at the end of it, you know, we've got Jesus in here, and I'm going to serve him. Well, during that course, and maybe she's got 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 women working with her, trying to get the meal prepared for that bunch in there, and there's work going on. And every time that she comes by, now I'm painting my parable or my scenario or my vision of it. Every time that she goes by or spies over to that other part of the open the room, she realizes that Mary is just sitting there at Jesus' feet. And she's hanging on every word, and she's soaking it in. And every time, you know, that she goes, let's say, I don't know how much, obviously, there's not the modern-day appliances that they, but they probably had an area in which they prepared whatever they were preparing, and whatever fire that they could have there, whatever their interpretation of a stove was or whatever, they're preparing that, and she's got ladies, and you know, you take care of the drinks, and you take care of the salad, and how's that going back over there? Well, it's good. It's how's that dish going? Yeah, you got it. Okay, well, they figure they're, Jesus is long-winded. They got another hour, but I guarantee you, so every time that she walks by, though, she's looking, and she, I can't believe this. You know, we're running into each other. You know, we're working our butts off, and we just can't get it. You know, it'd be nice to have another hand here. And look at her. And the worst part is, she don't even turn around and look at us. Like, I wish I could help, but I'm interested in this right now. She's oblivious. She's just oblivious to us working. It's like, and she's, I can't believe it. And then, how you doing? Okay, we're getting it done. Yeah, okay, I'll be right. And she hadn't got up yet. Man. So, y'all doing okay over here? Yeah, he's going to be done in a little bit, so. God, she hadn't got up yet. What is her deal? Okay, I'll give her a little bit longer, because she knows that the women are supposed to be here helping prepare, because at the end of this thing, Jesus is going to be hungry. And we know that he's got him and 12 more. We know there's 13, and Mary, there's at least 14 out there, and there's a bunch of people listening to him. So it's getting closer, and it's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. So finally, he says, I can't take it. I'm going to take, I can't take this. I'm going to take Matt. I'm going to, you know, I've stood all this that I can stand. So she just marches right up to Jesus. She just marches right up to Jesus. While he's teaching. Because he's teaching and Mary's sitting at his feet. And Martha is getting stewed. She's not cooking stew. She's getting stewed. She's like, I can't take it anymore. And so, excuse me. Because they're sitting on the floor. You know, that's how they do. And so there's no real, excuse me, can I get back by you? And Jesus is speaking, excuse me, sir. Yes. Do you realize that I am working in the back room and that Mary is sitting? Do you not care that Mary is sitting right here and she could be helping the workers in the back? And you're just teaching? You know, remember when the disciples came to him at the in the boat? And they said to him, wake up. Don't you care that we're perishing? Don't you get it? Don't you get it? And so Martha comes up and just blatantly, right in the middle of it, Jesus, speak to Mary. Don't you understand? She's not helping. We're back there working. We're trying to get something done. We're trying to prepare a meal for you. And it's just worth reading again what Jesus' reply was. He said, and of course, verse 40, Luke says Martha was cumbered about with much serving, much. So she was working. The lady was working. And came to him and said, Lord, does thou not care? Just like the disciples said to him in the boat, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Now, it says serve alone. She could have been alone. My thoughts is that she was left alone from her. I think and that she probably had help, but that she was, either way, she was in a tither. She was upset. Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. Now, when he says Martha, Martha, he's not rebuking her. He's very intimately, it's a double Martha. Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken from her. Now let's just look at this or analyze this or look at an observation for a moment. Jesus cites, when he says this to Martha concerning Mary, he cites the very heart of God, the very heartbeat of God, the foundation. God is what? He is love, okay? So he cites the very heartbeat of God, which is intimacy. He birthed us in Christ so we could have sons and daughters. Again, Adam lost it, Christ gained it. It's that the very heartbeat of God is for us to come back into intimacy and fellowship with Him. That's why we get born again. Now, we cite and we look at this observation of Mary, and Jesus says this one thing is needful and it won't be taken away from her, which obviously was intimacy. Now, when intimacy takes place, now here's the observation that we have to take out of Mary for our own lives, and this is reiterated around here a lot. When intimacy, when the better thing takes place, there's certain things that has to happen. One thing that has to happen is intimacy must have proximity. Did you get that? I must... For me to physically, this is my wife, so I can do it, to embrace her, I must be very approximate to her. In other words, for intimacy to take place between you and God, there must be a proximity. In other words, you have to prepare a place where you can get in His proximity, undistracted from the world, and enter into that place so that Mary was choosing the better thing, and her physical posture proved where her heart was at, because the proximity was right there at His feet. Just right there. So right there. That was her proximity. So intimacy is proven by proximity. You have to be in the place where you're opening up your heart with God, to God. The other thing is, intimacy not only requires proximity, it requires time. I didn't get no running around the building. It does require time. Okay? Dad and I hadn't it's been years since Dad and I went someplace. We used to do that all the time. We went hunting together. That's our deal. A lot of you can't relate to that. That's okay. That was my deal with my dad. I scheduled months way back in 2015. I called this friend of ours who had invited me a long time ago. I called him and said, "Is that invitation still available?" "Yes, come." "Who are you bringing?" I said, "I'd like to bring my dad." I scheduled a time of proximity, but I also took time. For you to go any place with God, you're going to have to spend time. You can't get it on the fly. Now, you can stay saved on the fly. And you can, when I say the fly, I'm talking about running up and down. You know, go. I'll tell you honestly, the people that I think, to me, having observed my wife, my daughters, you women, the people, honestly, that I think have a bigger excuse than probably anybody else is mothers raising little children. And you know, two or three of them in a home. Because when we keep ours on the weekend, and it's so great to be a grandpa, because when it's, you know, it's so fantastic, and they just occupy a lot of your time, and mostly hers, but at the end of the weekend it's, "I'm going to carry you out to the car, bye, love you, see you next Friday." Glory to God. But I realize that... I realize that mamas, you know, it is a full-time job. And I applaud all you mamas, because if anybody had an excuse of whether you got the time or not, I think you just about could have four or five businesses going and not have the time that it takes to just raise two or three kids. I mean, my God. So, but mothers, business people, we all, even mamas with two or three, will find the time somehow to squeeze in certain things that definition-wise you would say, well, that's just not absolutely a necessity, but it is kind of a necessity, because God wants to give you time for, you know, to do stuff for yourself every once in a while. But here's the deal. Everybody in here is responsible for a certain amount of time. I'm not the Holy Ghost. But if you're a mama with two or three or whatever, I mean, you could have one hanging on your side and one that you got a bottle stuck in their mouth or whatever. You should get filled with the Holy Ghost if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, and then walk around with that baby praying in tongues. And that's not necessarily on the fly there. That's the best that you can do. That's a season of your life that's about the best that you can do. But you got to do what you can do. It may be that you're a Mary sitting at His feet with a baby on your side. But nevertheless, what I'm saying is all of us is responsible. One, proximity; two, time. The other one is attention. You know, and I'm not giving an exhaustive list, but the other one is undivided attention. This has to be learned. This really has to be learned. You have to learn this. It doesn't matter even when you can be a veteran. I suppose myself to be a veteran, but every day of my life I have to reel in when I go get that coffee, sit there. It's dark most of the time outside, and I'm going to spend those hours, and I'm having to constantly reel in, because I'll be thinking about a lot of Martha stuff. I'll be thinking about a lot of Martha stuff. I got to get this done today, and I got to get that done, and I need to. And for me, all of you have different ways to do it. I have certain ways. Some of you may not have a checklist. That's fine. There's no divinity in that per se. I have a yellow notebook paper. I'm probably going to transition to my notepad, our smartphone. Yeah, that way I can keep it with me more and more. But for years I've had things to do. I've had personal now and personal later, church now and church later, four categories. And those lists, sometimes everybody in here has them. Those lists, if you put everything down that you would like to do, or that phone call I need to make, or blah, 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 or I need to follow up on this or follow up, my God, every one of those four categories could have 20 different things. And so that's why I go personal now, personal later. I can put that on the back burner. That can be done in the next week or two, or maybe a couple months, but that's an objective that I have of getting to something. But I can turn into a Martha in those first few moments of sitting down, because your mind just works that way. Your mind wants to start doing stuff, and it doesn't think that you're getting anything done, really. Your physical brain doesn't think you're getting anything done just sitting there saying, I love you. I love you, Jesus. I worship you. I praise and magnify you. You know there's an edification taking place, or tongues, and I'll vacillate from tongues to worship and back and forth, and then later on break out the Word of God and begin to meditate the Word of God. But your natural man says, go ahead, hurry up and get this done, because there's a lot of Martha stuff to be done. You know, you got to get this done. So those are some observations concerning intimacy. There's two factions in the church. Not necessarily this church, but there could be. And there's two factions in the church worldwide of people that are seeking God. There's the Marys, the faction. And the Marys, now, we brag on Mary, and Mary had it going on because Jesus validated her and what she was doing. But also, Marys also can be seen to be flighty. Flighty. They got their head in the clouds. You know there's work going on or needs to be done. I know. But he is so good. He's so wonderful. Oh, he's so wonderful. And Marys can be seen to be flighty. They can have their heads in the clouds. And they, when you talk to them, I just want to pray. I just want to pray. I just want to pray. Yeah, I do too. I just want to pray. and you know, honestly, it Marys, because nobody's exempt from it. I mean, you can fast 40 days and then start talking to somebody about, you know, your fast. And I did 40. I didn't want to mention it, but since y'all are talking about fasting, you can get prideful over anything. You can get prideful over anything. Marys can get prideful. Y'all just go and do that fleshly stuff of cleaning up and working in the church and doing all that stuff. We're going to just pray. We're just going to pray. Because we're Marys. And then they can get critical, like, you know what? Because I have run into religious spirits. And some of those religious spirits left here. That doesn't mean we won't have them again try. But we teach, you know, the foundation of prayer that we teach around here. By His grace, not mine, but by His grace, we won't ever move from that foundation, prayer, prayer, prayer. But I have seen that spirit of it's a religion. And you can't hardly approach it, because if you approach it, you feel like you're coming against God. And it's like, you know what? I know you guys, y'all want to go do all that. And then Mary's can behind the scenes start dropping little things like, well, if they would pray more, if they would spend more intimacy, they wouldn't be ready to, you know, go work so quick. And I've entered into a room of love through my prayer. And I'm not gonna go work and hit the streets or do that. He just wants me to pray. He just wants me to pray. And there is a side of that. Their people are called to intercession, and that'll be the main part of their life. And they'll back up people that'll go into the streets. But we're all called to evangelism. And we're all called to lay hands on the sick. And we're all called to do. And Mary's can get revelation, and it can be valid revelation, but they also can get flighty. And they can condemn the Marthas, men or women. We're not talking, can I remind you again? Men or women that are really trying to get in there and get, you know, something done because pastor asked for it or you know, it was a vision in the church. In the light of what we just read, let's talk about an observation concerning Marthas. Marthas are get it done, men or women. I love God, but let's get it done. Let's get her done, as they said. Let's get her done. Let's go get it. You know, let's talk about the streets. Okay, let's go right now. Let's do this. Let's go. Okay, let's go right now. Let's go. Let's go. Go, go, go. Wait a minute. Whoa, 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 whoa. We need some prayer coverage here. We need some wisdom here. We need some understanding here. But you said, you're calling them in. So let's get her done. Marthas can't stand laziness. They can't stand it. They can't stand it. And let me say this, since we're really on this subject and you're here with me, there is sometimes a thin line between spirituality and laziness. There's a thin line. Whether or not somebody really wants to go do something and get it done, or just like, I'll just stay and pray. Well, you ain't got up off your backside and done anything in a long time. Is there any point that prayer turns into doing something? Hallelujah. Sometimes there's a thin line between that. And Martha's can be critical of Mary's. Mary's can be, not always, they can have a perfect relation. They can be flighty, cloudy, and they can criticize. Man, they're just carnal. Or they're just carnal. They need to enter into intimacy. Mary's can, in the same way Martha's can criticize Mary's. It ain't going to get done. How do you think they're going to be fed unless somebody... And sometimes I've taken the side of Martha, like, you know, poor Martha, she's just been drugged through the mud for years by preachers. Well, what do you think would have happened if she didn't? Somebody need to... But here's the deal. Do you think that the man that fed 5,000 one time and 4,000 another... Do you think that if he'd have got to the end of that meal or end of that message and there was nothing because Martha had got in there and she said, you know what, I'm gonna get me some of this, the better part. Do you think that he'd have looked over and said, where's my supper? Where's my Martha? Why didn't you have it ready? He'd have been just as loving. He wouldn't have cared if it took all day for them to get in there after the message.
He wouldn't have cared if they'd went out of there not eating. And besides for that, he could have just said, hey, y'all got anything? Just bring it to me. I'm used to multiplying things. So that wouldn't have been an issue for him. Hallelujah. Are you getting anything? So we know what Jesus' response would have been. Let's continue looking at a few more observations about Mary and Martha's. And to do that, we have to go to John chapter 11. Okay. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you. We're looking at John chapter 11, and we're still talking about this same family and still making observations. Thank you, Father. Now, verse 1 says, and a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. Now Jesus loved Martha. Everybody said Jesus loved Martha. And her sister. Everybody say that. So, did he love Mary and Martha? Absolutely. And Lazarus. And when he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of day. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of his sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleepeth, he doeth well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking his of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them, plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sake that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. When Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give thee. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall arise again. And Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall arise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall not die. Believeth thou this? And she saith unto him, yes, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. And we'll stop. We'll read a little bit more here in a minute, and we'll be done in a little bit. But we're going to make some more observations here out of this. We got another segment of their life that is taking place, and so we see this through the death of their brother, but we see their personalities, and we see who they were, and we get more of a polarization of who Martha is and who Mary is by watching their reaction and what took place in this particular incident.
from reading this, one of the things that we understand as what we just read is that Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus had come, she got up. That isn't that her personality? She's got a personality. I'm going to get up. I'm going to move. I'm going to get this done. I'm going to see what can be done about this situation. And so she's ready. And so that goes right back to what we read there in Luke. That's who Martha is. And she's got that kind of personality to get her done and get out there and see, to engage. It's interesting to me how when she comes, then said Martha to Jesus in verse 21, she said unto Jesus, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask God, he will give thee. So here's Martha. And she comes straight forward to Jesus. And it's always been preached, and rightfully so to some extent, Mary sat at his feet, and Martha was the worker. But here we've got the worker coming straight to Jesus and saying, Lord, here is my sorrow, but here's my revelation. He's dead, but I know that even now, presently, today, whatever you ask God for, he'll give it to you. So glory to God for Martha. Glory to God for Martha. Martha was getting it done. Now Mary was still back there at the house. She's still in that room that Jesus left. She's still that place where he left 4 months ago. She's still, oh, I'm not walking out of this room. This is a glory room. I'm not walking out of this. And Martha's out there, Jesus, brother is dead. And Jesus, now I like somebody to talk plain. Jesus, I love you. I'm kind of a little upset with you. I wish you'd have come when we called. But I'll tell you what, even today, you can get this done. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So she had incredible revelation. She said, Jesus said to her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection, the last day. I like this too. She wanted clarity. She wanted clarity. He said, your brother's going to rise again. And she had this revelation. She goes, Let's talk turkey here. Let's talk real. Are you talking about then, or are you talking about now? Are you talking about when we get there, or, you know, time to come? A lot of times you'll run into to Mary's, and Mary's got her wonderful qualities, because that's where we need to, that Jesus said that's the part you got to have. That's the beginning part. But sometimes you'll run into Marys that they just don't really care so much. They're just so much, and they'll talk to you about something they've received or something God's given to them, and after an hour of telling you what they've got, and they'll say, "Do you know what I'm talking about?" And I'm like, "Not really." But Marthas are like, Are you going to raise him up today, or are you talking about in the future? Does that mean now? Are you talking about right now, right now, now, right now, now, now? Are you the resurrection right now, now, now? Are you the resurrection is to come? So that I love about Martha's. Hallelujah. She wanted clarity. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? Now he's talking deep things here. He's talking about salvation and the power thereof. And we could preach that whole message. That's not our assignment right now. She saith to him, yea, Lord, I believe, now this Martha said this. This came out of Martha's mouth. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. Which should come unto the world, into the world. And when she had said this, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. Now here's another quality of Mary, of Martha. She wanted Mary to be comforted. She's having this dialogue, and Jesus saying, I am the resurrection. What do you mean by that? Do you mean now? Jesus confirmed it. Yes, I at all times, now and the future, or the future and now, I can get her done. Martha, you and I, you're a get her done person. I'm a get her done person. It can get done today. Oh, thank you. I gotta go minister to Mary. She's still bawling at the house. I gotta go tell her the Master's called for you. Hallelujah. So Marthas do care about people as well. So when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, the Master has come and called for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but it was in that place where Martha had met him. And the Jews, when they were which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she arose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. And then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And this is intercession Jesus is in. This is the same thing that you and I go in when we're praying in tongues and we slip from edification over to intercession. This is that groaning in the spirit that Jesus was having here. And said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, come and see. And Jesus wept. And there is... this is a side note, but sometimes there's weeping in that intercession. You don't know. Sometimes he'll reveal to you what you're weeping over, but there's that groaning, and Jesus is our prototype, and this happened to him just as well. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him, and some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that this even this man should not have died? And Jesus, therefore, again groaning. He's in this place of deep groanings, intercession of the Holy Ghost that's inside of him. And himself cometh to the grave, and it was a cave, and the stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith to him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Now here again, you just have to appreciate Martha. She's straightforward, and she believes he's the resurrection. She's already received that he can get her done now, but she's just a matter-of-fact person. He's just a matter-of-fact and a matter of like, okay, roll the stone away. Jesus, this is the same woman that went to him in the crowd and said, Jesus, I know you're teaching real good, but Mary, would you make her get up? Here's the same woman. Jesus, do you know that he's putrid, that it's been 4 days? I mean, you should have come when we called you. He's stinking. It's like, you know what, Martha, I know this, okay? It's okay. I know, naturally speaking, Lazarus is decaying in there. He's not in good shape. Go stand over there. Pastor, yes. Do you know? I understand, okay. I know. You know what we're going to have to do to get this done? Yes, I do. Okay. Stand over here. Because I heard from heaven, we're going to get this done. Okay, but just pray for me and work with me. Okay, because in a minute you're going to get to take the grave clothes off. But right now, Martha, you can't have any part in this. Because physical works won't do that part. And that's the part that we're after. I see these other men, and I've got to say, at times there's a temptation. And I also realize that I can't be a critical Mary. I see these men that have built huge churches, and they have several campuses. They don't call them now, and I'm not criticizing this, but it's the vernacular of the day that we live in, the larger mega or bigger churches. And I don't have a problem with that word, but they'll have like, and I know some churches, some of my family go to some of those churches in Fort Myers. I was at a place where the person that was hosting me this week went to one of these kinds of churches, and I'm not saying bad. I'm describing how they work. You'll have a pastor that is the lead pastor. He's a founding pastor. That particular guy, I bet he's a wonderful guy. I bet I just love to meet him. Spirit-filled. There was some discussion between me and that man that was, we're same age, a couple of years older than me. He goes to that church, and there was some discussion about his hunger for spiritual things. But the way they do it now is it's through media, and they'll have a central location. Let's say if Immokalee was a central location, which doesn't sound, you know, the rule would be the rural area would be the central location for urban areas. But let's say this was a central location, and we had 500,000 people or 1,500 people coming here. Then they would have every Sunday, they would have satellite churches or other camp. They call it other campuses. And this particular church had four or five other campuses. They had one in different places in Mobile, and they even had one overseas, in which the initial service is held, or the service is held at the, for instance, the Family Prayer Center. And there would be 1,000 people come in here, but it would be broadcasted live into those other locations. And in those other locations, you would have maybe as much as in those particular locations. And they would be coming, and they would just be watching a big screen, and the service would be conducted by people sitting there watching a big screen. And that is a big part of how churches are being conducted today. I don't know if you're aware of that or have visited those churches like that, where there's a one particular service going on, and that is by being broadcasted, and people are coming in and sitting there and watching the worship. I don't know if there's worship in those particular individual locales or not. There's a set of elders and pastors that work with those people that come in there. But initially, that one Sunday service is being broadcasted, and then they have sometimes individual weekly services. So I said all that to say this: there, you can get a lot of people that way, and sometimes you can get a lot of people by the convenience of the service, because a lot of those services, they start at 9, and then they'll be done at, you know, say 10:30, and that's preaching, praying, prophecy. You know, a lot of times there's not prophecy, but the preaching, praying, worship, announcements, and everything. You just an hour and a half, boom. And then you got the next service, you move that bunch out and move another bunch in. I don't care how many we ever have, I can never ever see two services, except that there would be a clause like this: look, you can come to the second service because it'll start like 3 hours later, but we can't guarantee you a seat, because if the Holy Ghost is moving in the first service, we will not stop the first service to usher in the second bunch of people. We're going to let him go as long as he wants to go, okay? So we may have two services, but we'll put that preposition in there, that if he starts and we're going, we're laying hands on the sick, and the glory of God is falling into place. I don't care, you know, well, the cameras are, we got to check. No, I don't care. We don't care. Put them, you know, let them just tune in. When they tune in on the, you know, the next service, they'll see us right in the middle of, in the name of Jesus, get out of that wheelchair. Come out of there, you sorry devil, you know. So, but that, why'd you say all that? Because we launched out of saying this. You can have good ideas. And Martha's going to have good ideas. And now we're going to use her personality. Martha's going to have good ideas. And you can build mega huge churches out of good ideas. And I'm not extremely bright, but I'm pretty smart. And what I make up, what I like, you know, there's a lot of you in here that could help me. We could figure out a way. We could figure out a way with our minds and get some think tanks going here to get some people in, a lot more people. It's just like I taught several weeks ago. Nobody has died in Collier County from starvation in the last 2 or 3, 4, 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. But there's been a lot of people died of cancer, died of all kinds of incurable diseases. There is a necessity, there's a call for a niche like us. And the only way we can do it, listen, we do have to be Martha at some point. But the first place is we got to be Mary's. That's the better part. That's the first part. And to wrap this thing up, obviously Mary wanted to keep her facts straight. Or Martha, she wanted to keep her facts straight. Mary, we read that she got up as soon as she did hear the call of the Lord. But to polarize this or help you with it, in the moment when Jesus said to Martha, Martha, Mary is receiving the good thing or the what is it? How does he say that? The better thing or the what? The what? The better part. Martha, Mary is receiving the better part because she was just sitting there receiving from Jesus, receiving from Jesus, receiving from Jesus. But while she's receiving from Jesus, what was Jesus doing? To think he was what? He was ministering. She was receiving, but he was serving. He wasn't in the back with Martha cooking the meal, and he was appreciating that. But Mary was receiving, but Jesus was serving. He was serving. And he taught throughout his entire earthly ministry, I've not come to be served. I've come to serve. That's my life. That's who I am. But we also see that in the same way, he sat at the feet of his Father on a continual basis. What are you saying? Look, we have to be Mary's. We don't have to be, it's not either or. It's one and the same. We have to sit at his feet. We have to sit at his feet and we have to make the time to receive from him. But then we have to launch out of that intimacy. Because if we don't launch out of that intimacy, we launch out of good ideas. And we launch out of inclinations and let's get her done. And we launch and we don't have the power of the Holy Ghost with us. We'll launch, but we'll not launch out of having the revelation of what he truly wants done. But if you think that what we teach about prayer, see, prayer is the number one. It brings us into God's heart, which is him. But there's something beyond that, not as in beyond that in intimacy in first place, but that's not the end. The prayer closet is not the end. The prayer closet is so that we can do the works of Christ, that we invade the streets, that we invade our ministries and we invade our calls and we invade our workplace and we invade it with the works of God. If you mistake
that we want you to pray, 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 and that's the end. Your prayer is for a purpose. Oh, Pastor, I'd like to go and pray at the hospital, but I'm called to several hours of prayer a day. Yes, I know that there's...
It's funny, I remember last year sometime, the Lord told Gary, I want you to go do something. Go give this to somebody. He said, Lord, I'm praying right now. He said, what do you think you're praying for?
Oh God, I'm praying so we can minister. Your prayer closet is for another purpose. It is for intimacy. It is for revelation, but it is equipping. His whole life was he went to the Father. It's peppered in Scripture. It's just peppered through there. He spent the time, as if you want to say it like this, Jesus is our prototype. So we don't learn from people and make Jesus an understudy of them. But if you want to say it to coin where we're at, Jesus was a Mary every day in intimacy with his Father. And then he got up out of that intimacy and moved as a Martha. And got her done. Got out there and got her done. He didn't say, I'm just going to stay up here on the mountain. Miss me and my Father. Just going to worship. And I'm just going to have... No. I'm going to come down. I'm going to raise the dead. Heal the sick. Cast out devils. And do the work of my Father. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you. We close this service. We bless those, Lord, that have come this morning and those that will be listening by the website over the next week, 2 weeks, whenever this message, Lord, will be heard by them in the months to come. Father, we thank you from the very beginning to the end that your Spirit is here. We take no glory, but we enter into your glory. And we say thank you, Daddy. Thank you for a wonderful day. Bring us back, many of us, at 6 o'clock for the purpose of speaking, Lord, over our city and watching the glory of God unfold. We bless now the individuals. We bless now, Lord, the couples, the singles, the marrieds. We pray that, Lord, the families will be blessed in this day. And, Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another as you're leaving this morning. We love you. We'll see you at 6 o'clock tonight, many of you.